the central portion of the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad is what we are now entering into. The context of the discussions in these two chapters is the court of King Janaka. He was a great knower of the self. We are told that there were about 54 Janakas. Janaka is not the name of a person, it is some kind of designation, something like collector. It is not the name of a man, it is an office that he holds. So, Janaka is a uniform title assumed by certain series of emperors once upon a time. And according to the Srimad Bhagavata and other Puranas, at least we are told that all these 54 were knowers of the self. They were Atmajnanis. And one Janaka among these 54 was the father of Sita in the Ramayana. Now, perhaps we are now discussing the conversation between the first Janaka, apparently, with Master Yajnavalkya. It occurred to the mind of King Janaka that he should know who is the most learned in his country. There were many learned people and sages, but who is the foremost? He wanted to be initiated by the best among them. But how can you find out who is the best? There are hundreds and thousands in the country. So he thought of a plan. He summoned a huge sacrifice in his palace. And all great people, sages, saints and learned men were invited to participate in that great sacrifice, where he gave charities in plenty. And therefore this sacrifice is called Bahudakshina, where much is given in philanthropy, charity and gift. So it was a very rejoiceful occasion for all people. Many people, hundreds in number, came from all countries. The intention of the emperor was that in this group of people who come in thousands to the sacrifice, the greatest of them also may be present. So I should find out some means of discovering the presence of the greatest of men in the court. He announced in the open court of the palace, before all thousands that assembled there in the sacrifice, that here are 1,000 cows, beautiful to look at, milk yielding and very rich in their appearance, to the horns of which I tie, to the horns of each of which I tie 10 gold coins. 10 gold coins were tied to the horns of each cow and there were 1,000. He made an announcement, the best among you may take this. So it is up to you to find out who is the best among you. Anyone who is best among you may stand up and carry this 1,000 cows with so much of gold coins tied. Now who can say, I am the best? It is a very delicate matter. Janako vaideho bahudakshinena yajnenaije. By means of a great sacrifice known as bahudakshina, where much is given in gift, King Janaka performed a great yajna. Tatra kuru panchalanam brahmana abhisameta babhuvuhu. In that sacrifice, many great men came from Kurus and Panchala countries. Janakasya vaidehasya vijijnyasa babhuva. Janaka thought in his mind, he had a desire to know what was the desire that he had. Kasvidesham brahmanana manuchanadama. Who is the best knower of the truth among these people in this assembly? Saha gavam sahasram avarurodha. 1,000 cows he brought in front. Dasha dasha pada edaitasya shringayo abadha babhuhu. 10 gold coins were tied to the horns of the cows. Tanho vacha, he speaks now. Brahmana Bhagavanta, great men, learned people, Yogo Brahmishtaha, Sayata Gav Dejitam, Who is the greatest knower of truth among you? Take all these with you to your house. Deha brahmana nadadrushu. None of them was bold enough to say, I am the best of the knowers of truth. Everybody kept quiet. Yajnavalkyaha swayameva swameva brahmacharinam uvacha etah soumya udaja samashravaiti. Yajnavalkya was there in that assembly. The sage, great master, he told his disciple, a brahmachari known as Samashrava, take this cows to my house. Very strange it was. Everybody was surprised, how this man is talking like this. He simply called the brahmachari and said, take them to my house. Samashrava was the name of the brahmachari. You take them. They have brahmanas chukruthu. Everybody was wrath and red with anger. All the brahmins seated there were mumbling among themselves, who is this man? How he talks that he is the greatest? How he thinks that he is most learned among ourselves, and he is insulted us in public by taking cows like this. Very unceremoniously he drives the cows, shamelessly as it were. Katham no brahmishtho bravita athaha janakasya vaidehasya hota ashvala bahuva. Janaka's chief priest of the Rigvedic type was one known as Ashvala. He decided to solve this problem. How it is possible for this man to regard himself in place in the presence of people like us, that he is the best knower of truth? Enam paprachya, he decided to put questions and see what answers will come from Yajnavalkya. How he can answer such difficult questions which cannot easily be answered. Tvam nukhalu no Yajnavalkya brahmishtosi. Ashvala, the chief priest of King Janaka, stands up and tells King Janaka, Yajnavalkya, Yajnavalkya, you regard yourself as the best knower of truth among us. Is it so? Well, then answer my questions. Saho vacha, Yajnavalkya says, namo vayam brahmishthaya kurma. I prostrate myself before the greatest knower of truth. But I am desirous of the cows. I have taken the cows because I want the cows. That's all. And as far as the knower of truth question is concerned, I prostrate myself before whoever is the greatest. Tamha tata eva prashtum dadhre hota ashvalaha. Then immediately there was a volley of questions coming from Ashvala to Yajnavalkya. Yajnavalkya ti hovacha. Yajnavalkya, now answer my questions. Yadidam sarvam mrityunaptam sarvam mrityuna abhipannam kena yajamano mrityoraptim atimuchyate. Iti. You know, Yajnavalkya, that everything is subject to death. Everyone is capable of being swallowed by death one day or the other. Not one among us can escape death. The sacrificer also will die. The one who causes the sacrifice to be performed will die. The materials used in the sacrifice are perishable. Therefore, the results that accrue from the sacrifice also will be subject to destruction. How can one escape death under these circumstances? How is it possible that the yajamana or the one who conducts the sacrifice free himself from this death that envelops everything and swallows everything? No one can escape death, but is there a way of escaping it? Now answer this question. Yajnavalkya gives the answer. Hotra ratvija agnina vacha vagvai yajnasya hota tadyayam vak soyam agnihi sa hota sa mukti sati mukti. The answer is very esoteric. It is not possible to escape death as long as the sacrificer considers himself as an individual. As long as he thinks that he is a human being, for instance, as long as he imagines that he is wealthy enough to perform or conduct a sacrifice, that he has many priests whom he can employ in the sacrifice, that he can go to the other world and enjoy the pleasures of heaven, if these are the ideas in the mind of the conductor of a sacrifice, naturally he cannot escape death. But there is a way of escaping death, by knowing the cause of death. If you know the cause of death, you can escape death. Why do people die? Because they are inharmonious with truth. That is all. There is nothing more secret about it. It is the law of truth that compels you to undergo certain disciplines for the purpose of making yourself in harmony with its nature. And this process of discipline that is imposed upon you is called birth and death. It is a tremendous discipline that is compelled upon us by the law of truth. We are irreconcilables. We cannot agree with anyone. We always disagree. We are independent. We have a personality of our own. We self-assert ourselves in everything. And so, as long as this assertion of individuality is there, and the truth behind this individuality is not known, no one can escape death. But if you know the principles that govern the very existence and function of the individual, then you can, by harmony with that truth, escape death. What is this harmony that you are speaking of? There should be simultaneously, together with the sacrifice, a meditation. A meditation should be there, coupled with the performance of a sacrifice. It is not enough if you merely offer oblations in sacred fire. It is not enough if you give material objects in charity. It is all no use, because these are not the ways of escaping death. All things will be swallowed by death. You must also have a simultaneous meditation performed together with the performance of the sacrifice, so that the sacrifice becomes an external symbol of the internal contemplation that is necessarily to be associated with the sacrifice. If the meditation is not there, the sacrifice is as good as nothing. What is the meditation? The chants by means of the Veda, which are effected through speech by the priest called Hota, who is the presiding authority over the Rigvedic mantras, has to be identified with the deity of speech. This identification can be done only in meditation. It cannot be done by any kind of action. Speech is controlled, superintended over, and presided over by a divinity. That is the fire principle. If the fire principle, which is the Agni Tattva, cosmic in nature, Vaishyanara ultimately, as it is called, if one can identify oneself with that, then the Hota, the priest, absolves himself from mrityu or death. There are four priests in a sacrifice. They are called Hota, Advaryu, Udgata and Brahma. Hota or Hotru is the name of the priest who chants the Rigveda in a sacrifice. Advaryu is the one who performs the sacrifice, and he is connected with the Yajurveda mantras, which are recited in the sacrifice. And Udgatra is one who sings the Samaveda mantras in the very same sacrifice. And Brahma, the word Brahma does not mean the absolute here. Here the word Brahma means the name of a priest who is the superintending authority over the Atharva Veda mantras, whose function is to see that any mistake is not committed by the other priests in the performance of the sacrifice meticulously. Now, none of these priests can escape death, and therefore the conductor of the sacrifice through them also cannot escape death, unless they perform a meditation inside. All these four priests should meditate, and then they can free themselves from death and also free the yajamana from death, the performer of the sacrifice. The first meditation is the identification of all the meanings of the Rigvedic mantras with the principle of Agni, together with the identification of one's own self as one with Agni. Hotra, Arsvija, Agrina, Vacha, Vagvai, Yajnasya, Hota. Ultimately, it is not a human being that performs the sacrifice. That is what Yajnavalkya tells us. It is not a priest that conducts the sacrifice. It is not a person. It is the principle of speech which is responsible for the recitation of the mantra that gives meaning to the yajna or the sacrifice. And therefore, you may say that this sacred speech called the Rigveda, that itself is the performer, yajna se hota, tad yat yayam vak soyam agni, this speech which is sacred, which is Rigveda, is conducted ultimately by the fire principle, the universal being, Vaishyangara. Sahota, he is the real conductor of the sacrifice. If you don't know him, he will die. This is liberation. This is called moksha, samukti, sa ati mukti. This is freedom from the trammels of death. Then the ashvala priest does not leave Yajnavalkya. You have answered one question. I have got seven more questions. You answer all of them if you want to take the cows like this. Otherwise, you bring the cows back. Yajnavalkyeti hovacha. Well, I ask you another question. You answered one question, I ask you another question. Yadidam sarva mahoratrabhyam vyaptam. Everything is conditioned by the revolution of days and nights. Time appears as day and night. Sarva mahoratra abhyam abhipannam. No one can escape this limitation imposed upon oneself by the movement of time in the form of day and night. Kena yajamano ahoratrayo rapti mati mujyate. How can a conductor of a sacrifice free himself from this condition imposed upon him by the movement of time in the form of day and night? What is the way? Then Yajnavalkya gives the reply. This can be done by Advaryu, the other priest. Advaryuna Aratvija Chakshusha Adityena. Just as the Hotru or the priest of the Rigveda can free himself from death by identifying himself with the mantras of the Rigveda as again identified with the principle of fire, the Advaryu or the second priest can overcome this limitation imposed upon himself and others by time in the process of days and nights. How? By another kind of meditation which he has to perform. What is that meditation? He has to identify himself with the ultimate principle of perception, which is the sun, Surya. And it is the sun or Surya who is the divine principle superintending over the eyes. There is a great connection between the actual visible performance of the yajna by means of the Yajurveda mantra and the eye that sees the performance. This eye cannot function unless the sun functions. So your performance, the visible sacrifice, the yajna in front of you, is nothing but an operation through the eyes. And these eyes are nothing if they are not properly superintended or presided over by the sun. If the sun principle withdraws itself from the eyes, there is no perception, no yajna, no sacrifice. So let the Advaryu identify himself with the eye. not the physical eye, but the very element of perception. And that again to be identified with the Surya Tattva, the ultimate presiding deity over the eyes. Chachurvai Yajna. After all, what is sacrifice? It is a process of visualization. And visualization itself should be regarded as a sacrifice. All perceptions are yajnas that you perform through the senses. This is the mystical yajna. Chachurvai Yajna. Asya Advaryuhu. Tad Yadidam Chachuhu. Sosa Vaditya. This is the Advaryu ultimately. The performer of the sacrifice is the Advaryu and he is the Chachu or the seeing principle. And who is he ultimately? The sun. So the sun is the performer of the sacrifice. Can you become one with him? The moment you become one with him, you are free from death. And the time factor in the process of days and nights will not work there in sun, no day, no night. This is freedom from the operation of days and nights and time elements in this way. This is freedom from the trammels of death. Well, is it so? Then I ask you a third question. Yajnavalkyati hovacha yadidam sarvam pura paksha para paksha abhyamaptam. There is a difference of the bright fortnight and the dark fortnight, you know, in the lunar month. And everything is involved in the movement of the moon, causing the distinction between the bright half and the dark half of the month. How can one free oneself from this involvement? Answer this question. Can you be free from the connection with the moon? Yes, you can. You can free yourself with the meditation that you have to conduct together with the sacrifice. And who is to conduct this meditation? Yajamana pura paksha apara paksha yoho aptim atimuchyate iti udigatra. The Samavedic priest should conduct the meditation. The Sama is in a very esoteric way connected with Soma. The divine element that is invoked as connected with the moon. And when you conduct the meditation in the context of this sacrifice, for the purpose of overcoming the limitations imposed by the movement of the moon, the Udgatra should practice a kind of retention of breath. Vayuna pranena pranovai yajna udgata tad yoyam prana sa vayu sa udgata sa mukti sati mukti. The breath, the vital force with the operation of which the chant of the Sama is made possible, should be regarded as the real chanter of the Sama. It is not a person or a priest that chants the Sama, it is the breath that chants. And if the breath is not to be there, there will be no chant also. So, if the Udgatra or the reciter of the Samaveda can identify himself with the principle of breath and vital energy inside, and that vital energy be identified with the cosmic vital force, Sutratman, which is called Vayu here. In other words, if a meditation on Hiranyagarbha be conducted simultaneously with the sacrifice, then the Udgata can be freed from mukti. This would be also a simultaneous freedom from mukti, a freedom from death of the yajamana or the conductor of the sacrifice. It is not possible to absolve the performance of sacrifice from the limitations caused by death unless all the four priests are free from death. So the fourth one, Brahma, also is to be freed. So, Ashwara puts the fourth question. How can the last one be free from death? Brahma, he has got another difficulty. What is that? Yatidam antaritcham anarambanam iva tena కేన ఆక్రమణ్యన యజమాన స్వర్గం లోకం ఆక్రమతి. హౌ కెన్ ద పర్ఫార్మర్ ఆఫ్ ద సాక్రిఫైస్ గో టు హెవెన్ వెన్ దేర్ ఇస్ నో లాడర్ ఫ్రమ్ ద ఎర్త్ టు ద హెవెన్? దేర్ ఈజ్ అన్సపోర్టెడ్ స్కై ఆర్ స్పేస్ బిట్వీన్ ద ఎర్త్ అండ్ ది హెవెన్. హౌ కెన్ యూ జంప్ త్రూ ద స్కైస్ టు ద హెవెన్స్? వాట్ ఈస్ ద మీన్స్ బై విచ్ ద సోల్ ఆఫ్ ది యజమాన ఆర్ ద పర్ఫార్మర్ ఆఫ్ ద సాక్రిఫైస్ గోస్ టు స్వర్గ? బ్రహ్మణ ఋత్విజ మనసా చంద్రేణ. ఇట్ ఈస్ డన్ బై ఎ మెడిటేషన్ కండక్టెడ్ బై ద ఫోర్త్ ప్రీస్ట్ కాల్డ్ బ్రహ్మ. అండ్ వాట్ ఈస్ ద మెడిటేషన్ హీ కండక్ట్స్? హిస్ వర్క్ ఈస్ నియర్లీ టు అబ్జర్వ్ త్రూ ద మైండ్. హీ డస్ నాట్ చాంట్ ఎనీథింగ్. ఇట్ ఈస్ ద మైండ్ ఆఫ్ ద బ్రహ్మ ఆర్ ద ఫోర్త్ ప్రీస్ట్ దట్ వర్క్స్ ఇన్ ద సాక్రిఫైస్. దిస్ మైండ్ ఈస్ ప్రిసైడెడ్ ఓవర్ బై ద మూన్. So he should identify himself merely with the psychological principle of the mind and the mind with its presiding deity. Then what happens? Then he would cease to be an individual. He becomes the mind only, and the mind becomes its deity. So that deity or the divine principle which is the ultimate factor involved in the performance of the sacrifice, that alone becomes the recipient of the fruits of the ajna. The individual should not imagine that he is the recipient of the fruits. Manovai yajna, it is the mind that performs the sacrifice. Brahma, that is the Brahma or the fourth priest. Tad yadidam manaha so so chandra, whatever is the mind, that is the moon. They are interconnected. Sab Brahma, sab mukti, sati mukti, ityati mochaha atha sampadaha. So, Yajnavalkya tells Ashwara, I have answered four of your questions, by which I have told you how it is possible for these important conductors of the sacrifice to free themselves from death, which otherwise would be impossible. If the sacrifice is merely a performance without a meditation, death cannot be escaped. But if the meditation goes simultaneously with the performance of the sacrifice, by which the performers get identified with the deity at once, there would be a final harmonious adjustment of all the four conductors in a unity of purpose, which will culminate in the realization of the one divinity, which is the aim of the sacrifice, and then there will be no death. So these are the four questions which Yashvala puts to Yajnavalkya, and the types of answer which Yajnavalkya gives to the four questions. But there are far more questions. The man does not leave Yajnavalkya so easily. So he says, I will ask you some more questions, and we shall see what they are. The questioner Ashwala continues querying Yajnavalkya. I put you some more questions. Answer them. Four more questions are asked. In all, he puts eight questions. Four have been answered. Four more remain. In this sacrifice, how many Rig verses are used and what types of verses are used? Can you tell me? Yajnavalkyeti hovacha katibhirayam adya rigbhir hota asmini yajne karishyati. The Hotru, the Rigvedic priest, performs the sacrifice by the recitation of a set of Rigvedic mantras. What are those mantras? Can you tell? Three types are there, says Yajnavalkya. These are used by the Hotra, the Rigvedic priest. Tisra Bhiriti, Katamas Tisra Iti. Which are those three? Tell me. Again he queries. Puranuvakyacha yajyacha shasya tritiya. The introductory verses which precede the principal chant, the mantras that are connected directly with the offering of the oblations called yajya, the mantras which are having their concern with the extollation of the consequences or results of the sacrifice, the glorification of the deity of the sacrifice, called Shasya. These are the verses that he chants. What is the purpose of this chant? What does he gain by it? Kim tavir jayati? What does he gain? Yajnavalkya says, yat kincha idam prana bhrut. Do you know what he will gain by the recitation of these mantras, which are of a very comprehensive nature? He can gain control over everything. These mantras are forces which he releases by a method of recitation. And these forces are directed to all those objects which can be regarded as living or non-living. So it is an all-powerful chant which can exercise the control over all beings. So what does he gain? Everything. Yadkin jedam pranavrut. Well, Yajnavalkya, I put you another question. What are those mantras which the Advaryu, the Yajurvedic priest, uses in this sacrifice? And what is the connection between these Yajurvedic mantras that he chants and the result that he expects from the performance of the sacrifice? Yajnavalkyeti hovacha katyaya madhya advaryu rasmin yajna ahutir hoti hoshiti. How many oblations are offered in this sacrifice? Tell me. Tisraiti. Three are offered. Katamastas tisraiti. What are those three? Ya huta ujjvalanti. There are certain Yajurvedic mantras which, when they are recited at the time of the offering of the oblations, the flames flare up vertically in the direction of the sky or the heavens. That is one set of mantras which you chant. The moment you pour ahuti by recitation of those mantras, the fire will flare up vertically. Yahuta atinedante. There are other mantras in the Yajurveda which, when they are chanted at the time of the oblation, the flames will make a roaring noise and they rush up as if a lion is opening its mouth. They are the second type of mantras. Yahuta adhisherate. There is a third set of Yajurvedic mantras which, when they are chanted at the time of the offering of the oblations, will make the flames go down and bury themselves in the yajna kunda. Kim tabhijayati? What is the purpose of this chant? What does he gain out of these recitations and stirring of the flames in this manner? Yahuta ujjvalanti devalokam eva tabhijayati. When he recites mantras which are capable of flaring up the flames up vertically, they will produce a force which will take him to the celestial regions. This is what he gains. Deepyatai vahi devaloka. The celestial region shines like the flames that go up to the skies. Devalokova ya huta atinedante pitrulokameva. When he chants mantras which will make the flames roar with gusto, they will produce a strength and a force and a potency or an apurva by which he will gain the pitruloka or the world of the ancestors. Tabhirjayati. Ativahi pitruloko yahuta adhisherate manushalokameva. When he chants mantras which will make the flames go down and bury themselves in the pit, they will produce another kind of vibration which will make him a good human being in his next birth. So there are three types of mantras which will produce three kinds of effects. So this is the result that follows from these recitations in the Yajurveda. Yajnavalkyeti hovacha. Yajnavalkya, I put you another question. Kati bhiray madhya brahma yajnam dakshinataha devatabhihi gopayati. Which is the deity by the power of which Brahma, the Atharvedic priest, protects this sacrifice? Tell me which deity it is. How many gods are there? whom he resorts for the protection of this yajna that is being performed here. Yajnavalkya says, Eka iti, only one God is there. He resorts to one God. Which is that God? The mind of the Brahma, the priest itself, is the God. He conducts his mind in such a manner in respect of the purpose of the sacrifice that it becomes a force by itself. There is no other God there except his own mind. Mana eva iti anantam vai manah ananta vishve deva. The mind can assume infinite forms through the functions that it performs. So the mind is identical with what is known as a group of celestials, Vishvedevas. The Vishvedevas are the protectors of the sacrifice. They are a group of celestials, and the mind itself here stands for Vishvedeva. All the gods are comprehended in the mind, and as a matter of fact, every god is nothing but one function of the mind. And so his mind is all the gods. What does he gain by this resort to this psychic god which he has generated in his mind? Anantam eva satyena lokam jayati. Infinity is the result that follows. There is nothing which the mind cannot gain if it properly conducts itself in contemplation. So Brahma, the Atharvedic priest, raises himself into the status of an all-comprehensive force, the Vishvedeva, by the very concentration that he practices. Yajnavalkya, I ask you another question. Answer that. Yajnavalkya iti huvacha. Katyaya madhya udgata asmini yajne stotriya stoshanti. What are the sets of mantras which the udgata, the Samavedic priest chants here? Tisraiti. Three are the chants. What are those? Katamas tisraiti. Puranu vakyacha yajyacha sasyacha. The same are the mantras as were mentioned in connection with the Rigveda. The introductory, the oblationary, and the laudatory. Katavasta ya adhyatmamiti. The prana within is identifiable in this context with the introductory verses. And the apana is identifiable with, the vyana is identifiable with the oblational chants. Yajya, vyanaha, shasya, apanaha, yajya, vyana, shasya. The yajya or the middle one is the apana, whereas the last one, laudatory or the praise that he offers to the gods through the third type of recitation is identifiable with prana, vyana. So prana, apana, vyana are the real sources of these Samavedic chants, as it was mentioned already, that he must meditate in a manner by which the vital breath within becomes the deity of the Samaveda. What is the purpose of this meditation and what does he gain by these three chants to the Samaveda? Kim tabhir jayatiti prithi villokam eva purunu vakyaya. This whole earth can be governed by him, by the force generated by the introductory chant. Antarishalokam yajjaya. The atmospheric world can be controlled by him, by the recitation of the middle one, the oblational chant. Julokam shasyaya. The heavenly world can be controlled and gained by him, by the recitation of the third chant, namely the laudatory one. Ashwala felt, every question is answered. I cannot put any further questions to this man. He kept quiet and occupied his seat.